1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Just want to try to admonish those of you that are here this evening to consider a title that I think is highly important for a missions conference when it comes to considering where we stand with God. And the title really is simple, simplistic. It's just, are you an example or an excuse? And you could be on either side of that situation. And whether you're an example or an excuse is really determined based upon your testimony and how you stand for the Lord and what you're willing to sacrifice and suffer. And are you fully surrendered when it comes to serving Him? If you're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, a verse that I'm sure many of you may be familiar with, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And if you look there in verse 12, there's a lot of things laid out that we're not going to go in depth into, but I want to draw your attention just to the statement there about being an example. But verse 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I just want to take a little bit of time to look at just the idea of being an example or an excuse, and really it comes down to which one we are willing to face, which one we're willing to stand up for. It takes boldness, it takes courage to be an example. And Paul, writing to Timothy, is exhorting him. I see in verse 13, he's talking about the exhortation, and the exhortation that he has just trying to exhort Timothy as a young man to be willing to be an example, and let no man despise thy youth. But really, when it comes down to it, each and every person that's given their life to Jesus Christ should be an example, should be a testimony, and should be a witness to this lost and dying world. So I'd like to look at that, if we open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the brethren that have gathered here tonight. Thank you for just the blessing of your word that we can just come and just gather around it, Lord, and learn from it. And I pray that you would just hide me behind your word, Lord, and just use me as a tool and a vessel that can just be one that can edify and be used to be able to clearly just present your word tonight to where we can be challenged and just really used in such a special way and just be willing to be available for your will and your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I see here, when I started off here in verse 12, it says, but be thou an example of the believers. And if you're not an example of the believers and you're not willing to be out there with boldness, I think of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, unto the Greek and also unto the Jew and also unto the Greek. And, you know, when you look at that, it takes us standing up in boldness. It takes us standing up and being a witness. We are here in a world that is so perverse and vile and reprobate in so many levels that it absolutely does not take any time to convince you of that. But the fact of the matter is you're in a world like that, but we are called to be a light in a dark world. We're called to be those that are going to be shining forth as lights, reaching the lost. And when you see that, you know, the Bible tells us clearly in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision for the lost here, how do you expect the vision for the lost over in the uttermost parts of the earth? If you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, how are all of these places going to be reached? And how is that going to be accomplished? Where are the next missionaries? Where are the next pastors? Where are the next song leaders? Where are the next deacons? Where are the next piano players? Where are the people that are stepping up saying, you know what, Lord, I want to surrender my life and give it to you to be an example of the believer, to be someone who is willing to just live for you and serve you. You know, there's people that will pat you on the back and shake your hand and will just, I mean, say all kinds of things just to lift you up if you were to graduate boot camp, or if you were to finish college and have a scholarship, or if you were to get a good job and be able to have a job that's making six figures. There are so many people that will lift you up and will just promote your name and just speak highly of you. But you typically don't hear that if you were to find out that somebody surrendered to a mission field somewhere, or somebody surrendered to just really preach. I remember back in the 90s, that was a common thing to see people come forward and just surrender to preach, or just really surrender to go to a mission field. And since I've been a missionary, I've yet to see that happen. And it's a sad day and age that we live in, that people are willing to sacrifice, suffer, and surrender their whole lives to something that maybe just throwing a ball around. I mean, they're willing to give themselves to their sports. They're willing to give themselves to the things of this world and to put all their energy into that. And it's a sad day and age we live in where there's people that don't want to be an example. They've figured out a way to be an excuse and to find a way to fall back in this world and do what they want to do. And I had a desire, and I thought really that desire I could fit God into it. That would work out just great if the Lord would just get on board. But I had this desire to be a helicopter pilot. And so for me, nothing was going to get in the way of that. I was going to make sure that I followed the dreams that I had. But one of the things that I realized in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, it deals with us clearly. It says that our ways aren't God's ways many times, and our thoughts aren't his thoughts. And we are below and he is above. And sometimes it takes us humbling ourselves and putting ourselves down and saying, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And it's not about what you want to do. It's about what God wants you to do. And it takes humility to get to that point. Because I'm telling you what, if you come out trying to get as much as you can in this world, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 to lay up treasures in heaven. There's a lot of people that aren't spending a lot of time laying up treasures in heaven. Can't even get in their garage. I mean, it's sad, but it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. When you do love the world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, the love of the Father is not in you. And the things of this world, the devil is just putting them out there constantly to draw people away from what the main thing is, and that is reaching the lost. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Is your vision here locally as hot as it should be when it comes to being a testimony and example to reaching the lost? Or does it come down to us looking at each other and going, well, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're not where they should be. And really, I feel good about myself because really I'm a little notch above. If we're comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, the Bible surely tells us that's not wise. And unfortunately, that is something that happens many times. And here Paul is telling Timothy to be an example. And just a few points that I want to draw your attention to. When it comes to being an example, if you want to follow the Lord and fully give yourself to him, we want to be an example of the suffering for the cause of Christ. If you're going to be an example, it's going to be an example for the cause of Christ, and it's going to take suffering. I look at 1 Thessalonians. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded not the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Isn't that amazing? There was an example being set here, and it was spreading like wildfire. And the people knew, and Paul was, really what he was doing was, he was just admonishing them and saying, what a blessing that it is a known thing that your faith has been spoken about all abroad. And really, how did that come to be? Well, I believe in the context of it in verse 6, affliction. What's affliction? Suffering. It takes suffering. If we're going to be an example for the cause of Christ, it's going to take some suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, real quick, there it talks about Jesus Christ being an example for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." He left us an example that we would follow in his steps. I'm not talking about unnecessary suffering. I'm not talking about first world suffering, where your type of peanut butter is not on the shelf, and so everybody on Facebook found out about it. I'm talking about real suffering, when there are situations in your life that between you and the Lord, you face some serious suffering and persecution because for the name of Christ and for the cause of Christ. And I have brethren at this very moment who are facing a lot of suffering and persecution, and they're facing some very serious situations. And I believe personally that there are many people in even the United States of America who have taken a position where they are laying back and they're in their comfort zone and they don't want to be bothered and they don't want to get out of that. And they have laid back and allowed just this world to lull them to sleep. And the vision for reaching the lost many times is lost. But the point of the matter is here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we see clearly that Jesus Christ left us as an example that we would follow in his steps as a Christian that is willing to suffer. Christ-like Christian, Christ-like, willing to suffer. And you know, if you were to study, and we're not going to take the time to do this, 1st and 2nd Peter, everywhere it says suffer, suffered, sufferings. And you underlined that it would be a very valuable Bible study to find out how many times 1st and 2nd Peter have suffering. There's a very common theme all throughout those two books. And it's just a blessing that we can see that our Savior suffered for us so that we might give of ourselves. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20 tells us clearly we're bought with a price. And it's not for us to be living and spending all of our lives for this world. I didn't say it's wrong to have a job. What I'm trying to point out to you tonight is that we should have a vision for the lost and using what we have to reach the lost, and that is our life. And why I say that is because Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 lays out clearly that we are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. A lot of people want to make that like the highest standard. That's the benchmark. Man, look at what that person's achieving. You know, we're a bunch of nothings doing something for God, and really, it's just amazing that he would even use someone like us to even take the gospel to the lost. And when we see that, it's just a blessing to be able to be used, but really it's just a reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God, who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins and sacrificed him for us to give of ourselves. We owe a great debt. You're bought with a price. You are a debtor, and I'm a debtor. And it comes down to whether we're going to be an excuse for the others around us to say, you know what? They go to church and look how they live. Yeah, well, you know, they claim to be a Christian and look at what they're doing. You know, and sometimes it gives people an excuse to not want to serve the Lord or really not even give their life to Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's the people in the church and that they want to call hypocrites, which, you know, I hate when they start to use those terminologies because they've not taken the time to look at the statistics outside the church on how many hypocrites there are. They want to always talk about the hypocrites inside, but here's the point of the matter. Here we are, we could be an example of the believer, each one of us in this room, or we could be an excuse for other people outside to say, I'm not going near that church. And it's a sad situation whenever they try to use that as leverage. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 10. We are to be examples in suffering for the cause of Christ. Examples of suffering. It says here in verse 10, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Suffering, affliction. Again, it's mentioned there. And look at verse 11. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Here we see again where the Bible is talking about suffering, affliction, and going through some things. You know, when it comes to our lives, suffering, affliction, sometimes for those of you in here right now, I'm not going to assume that everybody in this room is saved, but I will say this. Those who have given their life to Jesus Christ and have a true time in their life where they've been saved and been born again, there is different types of suffering that we face. And one of them also, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, there's another type of suffering that many times is not handled very well in the church amongst Christians, and it can affect those that are outside these walls. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7 says this, "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" Boy, that would be difficult to practice that. Allowing yourself to be used and abused, suffering defraud for the cause of Christ. That's not American. I'm just trying to put it out there clearly. That's not American. That's not, nobody's going to get over on me. I was just speaking with a lady recently and was talking to her about the Lord and trying to witness to her. And she made this comment about why she's a Buddhist. And one of the things that she would draw on and one of the things that she wanted to point out is why she appreciated the Buddhist religion and how it's accepting of all people and all these things. But then there was one point where the conversation went to how many times we're going to face persecution and suffer for the cause of Christ. When you give your life to Jesus Christ and you're serious about following him, it sometimes, many times, comes with suffering. And that means being abused, used, and abused for the cause of Christ. Being a doormat. Suffering defraud. And all of a sudden it got really quiet. Because that's something that is not going to be practiced very easy. You know, if you spend a little bit of time memorizing Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, you'll find that it's not in, it's not in vainglory, not in strife or in vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than yourselves. Esteeming others better than yourselves. I guarantee you there'd be a lot more gospel tracts being given out. I guarantee you there'd be a lot more people witnessing and telling about how the Lord Jesus saved them. There would be a greater vision for, there'd be a greater desire for reaching the lost if people esteemed others better than themselves. And we're willing to suffer defraud. Because if you're not willing to suffer defraud, you leave out of here and you don't end up becoming an example. You use that as an excuse on why you're not coming back here, because they did me wrong. And he said the wrong thing, and she said the wrong thing, and this is why. And it becomes so many excuses on why they're not going to have anything to do with that church or with that ministry. But here's the simple fact of the matter. If all of us were to stand up and just walk out because we were offended with each other, there wouldn't be a church. Really, there really wouldn't, because we'd all get offended over something. But in the end of the matter, you're not getting offended over something that Jesus did wrong to you. God never did you anything wrong. God didn't do that to you. We're going to be faced with all kinds of situations in this life where we may be done wrong, but would we be willing to suffer defraud? And really, I guess, in the end of it all, turn the other cheek and decide, you know what? I'm going to try to handle this the right way and make sure that for the cause of Christ, I make sure that my testimony is above board. You don't see a lot of people wanting to take the high road. They're trying to find a way to get that save face. And it's like one pastor said, he's no longer here, but an older pastor many years ago said, it's not important to be right. It's important to do right. And if you spend a lot of time memorizing that and thinking about that, it causes us to go into a position where many times we have to suffer for the cause of Christ. Number two, it's not just being examples of suffering for the cause of Christ, but examples of sacrificing. I've already mentioned to you, and we won't turn there, but Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about sacrificing. And that's a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And it really, like I said at the end of it, it's just a reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to ask you to take of your time in your life to reach the lost and be a witness. A missions conference is something that should encourage us and edify us to want to do more for the Lord, not just in our pocketbooks, but in our lives and serving him. You know, I believe wholeheartedly, whether you agree or disagree, that's okay. But I believe wholeheartedly, if God gets your heart and you're on fire for the Lord and zealous of just trying to get out there, just reaching the lost, and really just have a desire to see souls saved, I believe things follow behind that. And he gets the rest of it too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36, another verse that I find that is interesting when it comes to some of the suffering that we're not facing. We haven't gone through any of this. But at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, it's interesting. You have the Hall of Faith and you've got all the people mentioned by name. But at the end, there's people that weren't mentioned that have gone through a lot that we've never even experienced. And it says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. You see there, there's people that were willing to suffer. There's people that were willing to sacrifice their lives for the cause of Christ. And they went all the way to the point of death and gave of themselves to die so that they could try to be a witness. And really, what an example. They didn't find an excuse to find a way out. They stood up and became an example. You know, you can be an example in suffering for the cause of Christ. You can be an example of sacrificing. Or you could be an excuse to lead others astray. You know, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we were. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I noticed at the beginning of 1 Timothy chapter 4, we didn't look at this, but I'd like to point this out. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul telling Timothy some things that's going to happen in the latter times. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. But here at the top here, it says that there's going to be a bunch of people that really, they're not going to give heed to, they're not going to give heed, and they're going to depart from the faith, and they're going to start giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they're going to start being people that really no longer are interested in hearing the truth. They don't care to listen to the truth. They become thin-skinned, and they don't like the preaching, and they're finding any excuse to get upset. And really, you know, the Bible, just the Bible, the truth that we find in the Bible is challenging, and it's confronting. Truth confronts. Truth is contentious. It is. It's contentious. When you come to the truth, it should challenge you to want to live for the Lord and want to do what's right. Here in 2 Timothy, I also see here 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul talking to Timothy again, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. What happens when that happens? People start finding excuses. They don't want to be an example. They want to find an excuse and figure out a way to step out. We're not going to turn there, but I think about the passage in 1 Samuel where Hannah brings her son and gives him to Eli to be raised there. Well, you know, if you look at that in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3 specifically, you find that Eli's sons are doing a lot of wicked things, very wicked things. But I find it interesting, in the midst of all of that, Samuel turns out to minister to the Lord, is what it says at the beginning of chapter 3. He's ministering to the Lord. How, you know, against all odds, in a home where you have reprobate people, Samuel turns out to want to serve the Lord. What happened with that? He wanted to be an example of the believer and not an excuse to use the position to do wickedness and to really live in wickedness and do the things that would be ungodly. You know, you could be an excuse to lead others astray, and you could be an excuse for the lost or the next generation to turn away from God. You know, the Bible tells we're to be without blame, without rebuke. And if you look over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, as we finish up here, says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." That's what we are. We are trying to shine as lights in a world in a crooked and perverse generation. And it says here in verse 16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." There's a lot of people running in vain and laboring in vain. They're wrapped around their sports. They're wrapped around their jobs. They're wrapped around their goals and dreams in this life that somehow don't have God involved in it. They're wrapped around a lot of the things, and it's drawing them further and further away from the souls of man that are dying and going to hell, and they've lost that vision, and the main thing is no longer the main thing. That is why, to be honest with you, the animals have received more in their budget than the missions in this generation. That is why people are dying and going to hell, and people are looking around going, well, you know, that's just the way it is. There's not a broken heart for that anymore, it seems. There's not a desire to want to get out there and surrender and sacrifice and suffer some things for the cause of Christ. Will you be an example, or will you be an excuse for the others to say, yeah, I hear it many times down south where I was, for many years of my life, they always say, I can take it or leave it. And that's really where we stand now in 2024. That's why churches are more and more becoming empty, because there's so many people that can say, I can take it or leave it. I'd rather be an excuse than an example. He tells Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, be an example of the believer. Are you an example here tonight? Or are you an excuse for somebody else that is not wanting to serve the Lord, doesn't want to have anything to do with God? And it's drawing people further and further away from Christ. It takes us suffering, and sometimes suffering to fraud. It takes us going through some things that's not going to be easy. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to use you as a vessel unto honor, meet for the Master's use, to be able to reach the lost. Which will you be? Are you going to decide to be an excuse or be an example?